Are you ready for the word?
Yes.
All right. Are you ready for God to do something fresh and dynamic? Are you ready for God to just kind of take you higher?
Yes.
To do something new, new beginning. All right. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your word. Thank you. The word became flesh. It became a person that I could interact with, not just something on a piece of paper. But I thank you, Jesus, you didn't leave it at that. Just you talking to me and me trying to understand, but you have put your spirit in my heart that when you speak, my heart understands. And I thank you, Jesus, this morning for that fresh beginning with you, that your mercies are new every morning. That connection I have with you is not just temporary, but it is permanent, sealed by your blood. And I thank you this morning for wisdom, for understanding, for revelation, but also for the outworking of your word with signs and wonders, with grace to live and impart to others what you're giving. Lord, I thank you, and I just praise you. This morning, we take authority over every unclean demonic spirit, every spirit of deception, rebellion, and we say, be gone. We thank you for our children, for the grace that's on them. Now, Lord, we thank you for the parents and the grace that's upon them. Thank you for the grandparents and the grace that's upon them. Father, thank you for the single people in our church that have such a great calling. That, Father, that are not caught up with the things of family life, but are able to walk out your word with clarity, with single-mindedness of purpose. I thank you that each one of us has a place in your kingdom. And I just praise you. Amen. Amen. Well, we've been reading through Mark's gospel, and I don't know about you, but I've certainly been enjoying it. And as you know, is it just that great grace upon us as a church because of his word? You do understand there is a great grace because we read his word. And in fact, the Bible says in Timothy, he was encouraged, he said, do not neglect the public reading of scripture. And you know, from time to time, the church has done that. We've across the UK, across the world, people have stood and spoken it out. Well, on Good Friday, we are going to have a prayer meeting, 10:30, and we are going to be doing some of those things. We're going to do some public reading, just declaring some stuff out. And I'm telling you, the kids, it's going to be designed for the kids. The Good Friday, 10:30, just an hour and a half, just a short service. A prayer meeting, really. I'm telling you, it's going to be kid-friendly. In fact, the kids are going to be dragging you because it's going to be so much fun. But I know that God wants us to speak and declare some things over our city and over our families and over our lives. And as we've been reading this, you know, this week, Mark has been getting us ready for Easter week, hasn't he? You know, there's those revelation that Peter got. Then there's the Mount Transfiguration. And as I was reading it, I was just, Lord, what are you wanting to do? What are you wanting to take us to? Because the Lord's been speaking about a new beginning. And Pastor Claire and I and Pastors Mark and Simone, we were down at Kingdom of Faith during the week at a leaders' conference. And a very strong word was given to us, and then a second strong word was given to us by another person, both of whom spoke and used the same language within 5 minutes of each other, not having talked or spoken or knowing what the other had spoken about. So I'm telling you, something new, something fresh and dynamic is being released. And I'm kind of like, oh, okay, Lord. Right. Because the difficulty with something like that is you then strive. You try to make that a reality. And I just wanted us to turn to Mark 10. And we've got this wonderful story, an account of Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus was someone stuck. Someone stuck who needed something to change. And we're just going to read that word together, so we've got this new beginning as the theme this over these next couple of weeks. We're just going to continue that. So Mark chapter 10, starting at verse 46. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were entering the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus. I do love these kind of things. God just loves putting stuff, a bit of detail in, you know, about someone's life. He's the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Can you hear that cry? Can you hear that cry? Because I think sometimes we don't really believe that that cry matters when it comes from our hearts. But Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And so they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Can you hear the humanity in this? This is just a real. Come on, get on your feet, mate. He's calling you. It's modern day language, isn't it? "Thus saith the Lord, you who shall get on your feet again." No. So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith's healed you." And immediately he restored his sight. He received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. And as I was praying this morning, because I've been praying yesterday and the day before, I spent kind of 2 days just, "Lord, what's the word?" Because all during the week we were at the leaders' conference, so there's so much there that I was struggling to sift what God was speaking to me and what God's speaking to us. You know, sometimes it's not always the same. Or sometimes he prepares something in my heart that needs time before I can speak it to you. And therefore, sometimes what God does is out of sync with what he's doing in the church. And sometimes it's really easy because what he's doing in me is just what's coming out. And God was just speaking a word about that new beginning and about the changes and about the transformation of Bartimaeus this morning. And Bartimaeus, Simon Bar-Jonah, you know, and that's talking about Simon, the son of Jonah. That's what Bar means. Bartimaeus just means son of Timaeus. It even says that, so it isn't like I did anything particularly great in I'm just helping you kind of just remember. But Timaeus means perfect, admirable, honorable. So the son of honor, the son of perfection, had a problem. He couldn't see. He couldn't see. He was a beggar. You see, it's interesting, when he is called, he has to throw off his cloak. The cloak was a symbol that you had been tested by the temple and found to be blind, and therefore you're acceptable to actually beg. So this Bartimaeus, this son of honor, who had no honor because he had no sight, he had this badge of dishonor that he had to wear every day. And I just believe God is just speaking about that to some of us. There are some things that you've gone through and you feel like someone's put a badge of dishonor on you. Not just of guilt. You know, there's a guilt and you kind of know that you're tackling that bit because Jesus has kind of forgiven you. But somehow there's just a sense of there's a badge, like something written on your forehead that everyone can see. Fool. Made mistakes. Rushes in when others wouldn't. You know, just kind of stupid. Big dunce cap on you. You know, we don't do that anymore to people. Praise God, in schools, you know, in the old schools of 100 years ago, you sat in the corner with the dunce's cap on because you were stupid. You'd done something wrong. Well, we don't punish people that way, but I think still some of us feel that we're sitting in the corner with a great big sign on our heads going, stupid, made a mistake again, dishonor, D for dishonor or D for dunce. It's the same thing. And God was just speaking this morning about the removal, the new beginning, the new change that is happening. There is something spiritually dynamic that is happening for us and for our children. Claire and I are stepping into something that of a fresh anointing. I'm not going to go into that. That's not... We need to pray some of that out ourselves. But Bartimaeus was unusual because in amidst the people looking for signs, we've just had the feeding of the 5,000. We've just had the feeding of the 4,000. And the first thing that happens after the feeding of the 4,000 is the Pharisees say, give us a sign. I mean... Feeding 5,000, it's a sign. Feeding 4,000, it's a sign. No wonder Jesus rebukes them and says, no sign's going to be given to you because you're an unbelieving people. You're a sinful, rebellious people. You are unwilling to see the signpost that is right there in front of you. He's not very pleased. You see, the Son of God is looking for faith on the earth. He's looking for something and someone. And so we then read immediately after that that Jesus warns the disciples of the yeast of the Pharisees. And this is just reading, you know, this is what we've been reading this week. If you've been reading and following the Bible plan, you've been reading this stuff. This was Monday's reading. And they were like, what do you mean, the yeast? Is that because we brought one loaf? And he was like, Jesus, I think he kind of, you can just see him rolling his eyes. Okay, Lord, let me help them. When we fed 5,000, how many loaves did we start with? And how many did we end with? When we fed 4,000, how many did we start with? How many did we end with? The math don't work. Hang on a minute. You start with 5 and you get 12 baskets. You start with 7, but you only get 7. Jesus was trying to get them to recognize a miracle happened. It wasn't the how many baskets. It was you gave, God multiplied. God did something, and there was plenty left over. And I think sometimes as we are thinking about what we're giving to God, and we're like, oh, Lord, is it going to be enough? And he says, what are you looking at? Are you looking at the 5 loaves or the 7 loaves that were given, or are you looking at the 12 baskets and the 7 baskets that were left over afterwards? If you see the end from the beginning, you know things have worked. God always starts from the end point. He never starts from the starting point. He knows the end from the beginning. So Jesus then asked the disciples, who do men say I am? You're this, you're that. And then he switches the question and went, who do you say I am? And only one of the disciples had the guts, the audacity, the boldness, the stupid, to go, you're the Messiah. You're the Son of God. Because to say something, it was blasphemy if it wasn't true. You have to understand that blasphemy is not like us and today and just kind of a swear word, kind of like, isn't it normal? To blaspheme the name of God was to basically say, shoot me. Because someone would. You said something like that. I mean, this is something of what's happening in the Islamic world if someone uses the name of Muhammad in a wrong way. What you're seeing there is what happened in Israel. You use the name of God wrong, you died. People around you would quite gladly and willingly, because they did not want any curse coming on the nation because you spoke the name of God wrong. So that person next to you at work this week, when they say, oh, Jesus Christ, for the wrong reasons, as opposed to the way we mean it, don't get your gun out and shoot them. But what you can do is actually challenge that blasphemous spirit by saying, you know, that is a name that means something to me. This is what I did up when I was working at Granada, and we had 70 odd people under me and working in different environments. It was something of a blasphemous spirit was at work there. I prayed, but then I spoke. And many people there were Muslims, and I just said, you would never accept me saying that about Muhammad. In that kind of derogatory way, I ask you to respect me and not use the name of Jesus in that same way. Do you know what? They changed. They changed because I made it simple. I didn't challenge the F word and all the rest of it that they were using. It didn't matter to me. But the name of Jesus, we've just sung it. At that name, the darkness trembles. So this is a name, Jesus, that Bartimaeus, blind, he had more vision than everybody else in that crowd. He might have had physical blindness, but his spiritual eyes were open fully. They were seeing something different. One person till this point in time has said, you're the Messiah, Peter. But Bartimaeus, he is shouting it. He is making a call on that name. He isn't being silenced. Those crowds, they says, they tried to stop him. You look at what it says there. They many rebuked him, verse 48. And told him to be quiet. Jesus! Son of David! That is a title of Messiah. That's what it means. There was no lack of ambiguity. He was saying, you're the Christ. You are what I need. You are what I need. You are my fresh beginning. You are the one who will take this badge of dishonor from me and change me to being a son of honor. There is something about this kind of cry that God loves. The cry that says, mercy. I'm not calling upon who or what I am or what I have done. I am making a demand upon your character, God. I know you are a merciful God who gives good gifts. That's what it is saying. See, mercy is the very throne. It's the foundation of the throne of God. It is the place that the ark, the top of it was called the mercy seat. They put that behind a curtain. When Jesus came out, the word came forward and stood right among people. The mercy seat was moved to where people were. We know that when Jesus died, that the veil was torn. It was a reflection of what Jesus had already done. How could the physical stay closed when the spiritual had been opened? That's exciting to recognize. You see, this temple requirement was that he wore his clothes. So when Jesus responds to his call, he throws off the badge of dishonor. See, that's what baptism is about. Baptism is, I'm not this old person anymore. I'm taking off the badge of dishonor. I'm taking off that cloak that says I'm a beggar, I'm blind, and I'm useless. Because something fresh has come. Has come. You see, he already had his sight. He just needed the touch from God to actually make it real to everybody else. This is the thing. When we're carrying words from God in our hearts, we need to understand those are already done. They're not going to happen. Faith calls those things that are not as if they are. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith. This is what he's commended for. He says, because of you, Jesus said to this man, because of your faith has healed you. The strange thing about it is, despite this, Jesus asked him a question. What do you want? And I think that's the thing. Is so many of us are waiting for God to kind of just give it to us. And he's going, what do you want? What do you really want? Do you want the change that this is going to mean that you are going to have to work for a living now rather than beg? You see, that's the thing. He took off the cloak. He took off the badge that allowed him to beg. He's about to enter into sight, but with sight comes responsibility. With sight comes responsibility. God is going to require some things of those who get born again. In fact, he actually makes a complete bid. Whatever the old was, now you're mine to use, to do with as I see fit. You see, this badge of dishonor is replaced with a badge of honor. But the honor is the Lord's. It is God's grace, God's mercy, manifest in us. And we're looking at the cross this coming week. We're going to, you know, celebrate Easter in a week's time. This is Palm Sunday. This is the entrance of the King. And I love this story comes just before that. As you read, the next part is Jesus coming to Jerusalem as the king. This is the last thing Jesus does before he sits on the donkey and comes in to be anointed as king. I think it's exciting. Someone saw Jesus as Messiah and called him that before he ever did the miracle. He'd already received. That Bartimaeus had sight. You see, when Jesus rebuked the people before, he said, "You're ever seeing, but never seeing. You're hearing, but you don't hear. You see, but you don't see. You hear, but you don't hear." And the entry of the king this morning, I just was looking at that again. Zechariah 9, verse 9 says, "Rejoice, O daughter of Zion. See, your king comes, righteous, having salvation, gentle, and riding on a donkey." Spoken before it ever happened. And now we read in this passage, Zechariah speaks it, but then we see it in Mark. We then see the king, gentle, coming in on a donkey. The donkey was the symbol that a king who had just conquered a city was coming in peace and not to bring destruction and judgment. If he came in on his war horse, you were dead. Basically, they were going to bring in the troops and slaughter everybody. It was a procession. But you see, Jesus entered heaven. As Ephesians 4 says, "He that has descended, ascended. And when he ascended, he brought captives in his train." He gave gifts to people, to men. He gave gifts. This morning, who needs a gift? Who needs a gift from God? He says, God's the giver of gifts, not just once or twice. He's the one, and in Corinthians 12, when it talks about the spiritual gifts, he says it's gifts, plural, of healings, plural. So you don't even have to get one. It's not like I've had that gift. Oh, wow. So am I allowed anything else? No, it's multiplied gifts. It's a lavish giving of gifts. But it's a giving of gifts to those who perceive and see. What are you perceiving and seeing? Are you seeing someone on a donkey? Doesn't seem very rich, doesn't seem very affluent. Or do you perceive the king robed in majesty, seated on the donkey, the symbol of peace, entering Jerusalem, the city of peace? You see, this symbolism here is not some poor guy. These were symbols, the Jerusalem, the city of peace, with the king of peace entering on the symbol of peace. And whoever saw that could receive. Whoever saw that could receive. I believe God wants to do some things this morning. I believe God is just saying, who is crying out for mercy? Who's crying out for my gifts? Who's crying out for that touch? Who's crying out for the new beginning? That badge of dishonor, Jesus is saying, stop wearing it. I want to touch you. I want to touch you. I want you to see something change. I want to release something fresh. I'm just a man, but the Holy Spirit is just moving and hovering over this place. The anointing's here. Whether it's a word of knowledge or whether it's because the Holy Spirit just touches you right now, I believe God wants to give gifts. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to just touch hearts. Are you waiting for something, or has God begun to deposit something? Has Messiah touched you yet? Thank you, Jesus. He knows your needs. But there's a cry that needs to come from you. Because the king's saying, what do you want me to do? A new beginning. My mercies are new this morning. What you were living with yesterday, stop. Throw it off. And receive from me fresh today. Like Bartimaeus, the eyes of your heart are being enlightened to know him who has no limitations. At his name, the darkness trembles. At his name, the darkness trembles. If you need a miracle, if you need something from God, I just invite you to stand where you are. He's not judging you. Every dishonor, every word of dishonor spoken over you is broken. It's broken. There's no dishonor. There's no dishonor. I just believe the Holy Spirit would just want to impart fresh things this morning. That just a touch from God, the power of His grace. He's gentle. I just see the Holy Spirit just descending, just touching lives, just filling afresh. The power of God. His healing power. His mercy. His mercy is sufficient. Don't wait for me to lay hands on you. Someone might lay hands. Someone, you just need to receive. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, Tana mana mana desi adesso andostas, shara mana mana masanda lema, shara mana mana nacharele de messiano, shara masanda lema, romata da benama, healing, wholeness, strength, I am the Lord your strength, your joy, I am the Lord your joy. Ease. My burden's light. My yoke is easy. Thank you. Anointing grace, great grace, great grace.